Peter had a very daunting task, one that would go against tradition and one go against his denomination, so to speak. They had this Jewish denomination of circumcision. And the problem is that circumcision seemed to be very important to them, which was a removal of the foreskin. They did not know the biblical truth that circumcision of the heart was required, which is the total removal of the flesh, which is only God can do in our lives. So we pick up in verse 25. It says, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. So again, there's a biblical truth here. People that bring you biblical truth and or people that you think and all these big churches and that people are just daunting over the pastor and and they'll move from one church to another. They'll follow a pastor around. A pastor is just a man. He's just a man with the same sin that you've got. He came to salvation the same way that God says you have to come to salvation. He has to come to the end of himself. It's not saying a prayer, but he has to come to the end of himself, and then he has to go through a discipleship, and God has to teach him, and then when that wind blows in his life, and the Holy Spirit's granted to him to live this life that he's been called to live, then he's called into that pastorship. He's not to be worshipped. He just has a different responsibility in the body of Christ than you do. He's no more important than any one of you sitting in here. So you must understand that. And Peter understood that. He understood that he was just a man and he was saved by grace and through mercy and that he did not hold himself in esteem, but he always, as Jesus Christ did, gave glory to the Father. So he said, you know, you stop, I'm just a man. And as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. So again, this Cornelius, He was of Italian cohort. He was a God-fearing man, first of all. This is the criteria by which this could happen in his life. And God heard his prayers. We don't know specifically what his prayers were or how often he prayed or anything like that. But obviously, he got the attention and God used the family of Cornelius to bring the word to the Gentiles. And he used Peter as one of these circumcised Jews to go against culture to bring that to him, to them. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful, I mean, he even spoke this to them, it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Okay? See, we live in a world where we are so divided and we are so separated by so many things. We have divided the body of Christ into denominations. Into even social statuses. I mean, there are people that just go to the big churches to make their businesses better because they can talk to more people. They can sell their goods to more people. They have a wider group of people to sell their goods to. It's not about worshiping God. It's not about getting truth. No one ever looks at what's being taught from the pulpit and whether it's true or not. Nobody asks or questions whether what they're hearing is truly what God is saying. They just assume that, well, he's been to a seminary. He's got all this doctrine and theology. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day, where'd you get your doctrine and theology? And I think I've told you all this before. And I said, well, I got the highest education that you can get in the world. I said, I've got the Holy Spirit teaching me, and I don't know of anybody else that's got a higher education than I do. And I'm not bragging on that. I'm very humbled by that, the fact that God would even allow me to stand up here this morning and share his gracious and merciful word to us. I'm very humbled by that. So he finds himself doing something that he never thought he would ever do. So God was, again, taking him beyond his bounds. Don't ever look at people and think that, oh, giving up on them. So many times we want to make those assumptions that those people can't be reached, that those people, God has just thrown away. And we're not to call anybody unclean. We're not to call anybody unholy. God can do what he wants. Who would ever have chosen a murderer to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt? Who would have ever thought that there would be a murderer that would be have a heart for God? His name was King David. Who would ever think that God would choose a murderer to bring the word of God to the Gentiles? So let's not give up on people, folks. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for opportunities that we might be able to live our life in a fashion, in a way that gets other people's attention. It's how we come in here is so important, that people notice a distinction that, well, I can tell that those people, are going to worship. Again, as we've talked about, we don't want to just go to church. We want to come to worship. We want to be the church that worships. And we have been granted a very significant gift. Remember, Jesus Christ came to save the Jewish people, not us. But God used what he did on the cross through Jesus Christ to save us, the Gentile nations. He said, many were found. I mean, so obviously Cornelius had an impact. He cared about his family. He knew there was something more. God had put something in his life. They knew that there was a void there, and he wasn't complete. And he actually convinced and had enough influence on his people that there were a lot of people there, it said. And he goes on to say that this is why I came, without raising any objection, because he says, I'm obedient to God, and God told me to come. He gave me a vision three times. And showed me that no man is unclean, and then when these three men came, and it's amazing how we look at that. God just didn't tell Peter to go to Cornelius. God didn't just tell Cornelius to go get Peter. God didn't. God worked on both ends of the spectrum here. He prepared Cornelius to go get Peter to prepare for the word, and then he prepared Peter to have no objection to go give the word. So many people, one time I was told, like, well, God told me you need to do this for me. Really? Really? Well, he didn't tell me. I only do what God tells me. So if God tells me, then I'll do it. So if God had prepared my heart, then I'd been willing to do it. But I wasn't willing to do it just on somebody's word. Just because somebody tells you that God said, told me to tell you this, God told me to go bring the gospel to you, that's just a bunch of religious garbage. If God has not prepared that person beforehand, look at the biblical truth here, people. Okay? This religious garbage has got to stop, where we decide who needs the gospel and who don't need it. Everyone needs the gospel, the true gospel, the correct gospel, not this religious garbage that's going around. And I promise you that when God sends you someone, he's already prepared that person to receive you. And vice versa. He's prepared you to go take the truth to that person. Okay? Look at this biblical truth, because that's how it happens. Okay? You want your ministry, you want God's ministry in your life to be successful, then you wait on God. You let God go before you. You let him prepare you, and then you let him prepare the person by which you take the gospel to. We just don't get to decide who needs it by the way they act and what they're doing. Oh, I'm going to go and tell these people. No, you're attacking their nature. And when you attack somebody's nature, they're going to revolt against you. And then they look at your life and see how you've come short of God's glory. And you're trying to correct me, and you can't even correct your own life? And this is what the world is seeing today from the church, is that we're out there going around telling people how they ought to live, and we ourselves are not conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of our calling. Peter here just simply did not question. He did not know why he was going. He just said, go with them. And he went. He didn't know what he's going to talk about until he got there. He says, why I came, not even raising an objection, when I was sent for. So I asked what reason you have sent for me. So he didn't even know why he was going. He just knew he had to go. And when those people showed up, he just went, even though it was contrary to their custom. It's unlawful. This doesn't happen. I think we so much put our denominations and our religion in such a box, and we exclude so many people. Well, if you don't do this and you don't do that and you just don't meet our criteria, you know, you just don't fit in. Tell you what, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people that's going to be in the glory of God in eternity that you don't expect is going to be there. And there's going to be a lot of you folks sitting in these pews that think you're going to be there and you're not. And how do I know that? Because he wrote it in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, doesn't enter the kingdom of God. And then you start spouting off all the good stuff you did for God. But you never tell anybody or anything about what God has done for you. Folks, we got this all wrong. Ever since you were a little kid, you've been taught wrong. Only God can teach you right. Man cannot teach you about this. This has got to be revealed to you. And it was revealed to Cornelius' house. It was revealed to Peter and Paul. It was revealed to him. You look at all through Scripture. It was a revelation. God specifically spoke to them and said, this is how it is. It's not a matter of our own interpretation to interpret the Scripture and determine and make a denomination. Let's look at Acts 11, 1 through 18. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took an issue with him. I'm afraid that the Baptist denomination might have an issue with me. I'm afraid that the Southern Baptist Convention may not agree with what I preach and teach because I'm teaching Scripture, not a bunch of doctrine. I will never teach the doctrine of man. Now, if they happen to agree with God, then we're okay. But I think they would have an issue, okay, with what I teach and preach here. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took an issue with him, saying, you went to the uncircumcised men, and you ate with them. How dare you go against our custom? Who are we to listen to? Who are you listening to? That's a question I want to ask you this morning. Who in the world are you listening to about your spiritual destiny and your spiritual eternity? Are you listening to somebody who wrote a devotional book? Or some other book? Are you taking the Holy Scriptures and asking God to just reveal yourself to yourself? And to totally bring you to the end of yourself. You know how important it is that you become to the end of yourself? And only God's Word and only the Holy Spirit have the right to do that in anybody's life, not you. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, look, I was in the Sea of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. An object coming down like great sheets lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and observing it, I saw the four-footed animals on the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. See, I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No way. But I said, no, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time and says, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. See, this happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgiving. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house and reported to us how we had seen the angel standing in the house and saying, send to Joppa. So this is now Cornelius send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. I mean, he even told him it. God even told Cornelius Peter's name. There was going to be no mistake on how this was going to happen. And he will speak the words to you by which you will be saved, and you and all your household. Now, God, if he'd wanted to, could have told him himself, couldn't he? Right? But no, God was destroying denominations. He was destroying man's practices. He was taking them to a new height of relationship with him. And he will speak the words by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Water baptism doesn't do us any good. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit only happens when God gives it to you at the time that he deems that you're ready to receive it. It doesn't happen at the end of a prayer. It doesn't happen after you believe, and immediately it happens to you. I'm going to prove that to you in Scripture this morning. Therefore, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us after believing, so did they? What did they do first? Huh? They believed. And Cornelius, no, we don't know how long this man prayed to God, and then how long it took for God to hear him, did it, do we? Doesn't tell us in Scripture, does it? But it says, after believing. So the religion says, believe, and now you're saved. That's what the world's telling you. That's not what it said here, is it? It says, after believing. Okay? And we're going to get deeper into this, folks, because it's time that we take care of this misconception. Because people are dying, going to hell, and they're standing before God with religion. And he's saying, depart from me, I never knew you. This is a very serious matter in our lives. And we don't get it right in our own lives. How can we help others find the light in their life? Therefore, God gave the same gifts gave us after believing in the Lord Jesus. So who is I to stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted the Gentiles also. Here's the consequence. Here's the result of this, folks. He has granted the Gentiles also the repentance. The repentance that leads to life. So the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to repent. If we could repent on our own and in the flesh, then why in the world did Jesus Christ have to die? I pose that to you this morning. Why do you need a Savior if you can repent? Because you can't. And here's proof right here in Scripture. Okay? They believed. No telling how long they believed. Peter came, gave them the word, the Holy Spirit came so that they could repent. Wow. It gets better. I guess you're excited by now. It gets better. Listen to this. It gets better. Acts 19, 1 through 6. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. What are disciples? What are disciples? Disciple is just simply someone that follows somebody else's teaching. That's all a disciple is. Nothing more. Can't make nothing of it. They're just simply a person that follows somebody's teaching. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you see the question? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. We didn't even know. We not even have heard that it even, whether there is a Holy Spirit. So here you can believe in Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. It's just that the belief you have should lead to an emptying of yourself, an application of Jesus' teachings in your life that causes a frustration in your life, that causes you to come to the end of yourself knowing that you can't keep the law. So you find that yourself is empty, okay? That you're hopelessly, helplessly lost. That's that discipleship training. That's why it says the Holy Spirit leads you to all truth in life. See, it's the Holy Spirit that leads you to the truth in life, not a pastor. Now, God may use a pastor if that pastor is using Scripture, not out of context, not to build his denomination, but simply, this is what God's Word says. And then he lets you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I can't give you the Holy Spirit. Only God can. But these people believed in Jesus Christ and apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so essential in this. If you're not, if he doesn't live within you, then you're not a child of God. You can believe all you want apart from the Holy Spirit. See, it's a, why are you believing? Well, to save our own skin so we can go to heaven? Well, that's the wrong reason. That's a very selfish, self-preserving reason to believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, so I can have a better life because I don't like the circumstances I'm in? So we'll try this Jesus thing and see how it works out? No. It's because we're wicked. It's because we're born enemies of God. It's because we have an evil heart from our birth, and we are goats, and we're Gentiles, and we're dogs in God's sight. We're outcasts. And he said to them, then what were you baptized? Because these people believed in Jesus, and they got baptized. So what did you get? What baptism did you have? And they said, into John's baptism. You know, he went around telling us to get baptized and to believe in Jesus, so we did that. We believed in Jesus and we got baptized. We got the water. You know, we went down, we got it. You're missing something. Paul said, you're still missing something. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. So he says, now that you believe in Jesus and you've been baptized, now you go out and try to repent. And you find that you can't. And you get frustrated. And you find that this is hopeless. I can't do this. I'm at the end of myself. Telling the people to believe in him was coming after him. That is Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and began speaking in tongues and prophesying. That was a gift to the early church. That's been done away with. Okay? Tongues and prophesying been done with. Again, there's certain Pentecostals and things out there that are going to have issues with what I'm telling you this morning. Okay? They're going to have difficulty with what I just said. Because they somehow believe that that's their proof that they have the Holy Spirit. That's not the proof you have the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John chapter 20. We're going to do 19 through 22. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, this is after they went to the tomb, and Jesus was not there. He had been risen. God had raised him from the dead. God had accepted the work that Christ did upon this earth. He lived and was tempted as any man could be tempted, but was without sin. So when the doors were shut, the disciples were for the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. See, it wasn't, he still had those marks in his body. They're the only man-made things in heaven. Did you know that? There's something that was man-made in heaven. Do you know what it is? The marks on Jesus' body. They're still there. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, now I'm going to send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they had walked with Jesus all this time. They believed in him. They saw his miracles. They're still lacking something. And before they were to go out in their journey and to get the ability to do what God had called them to do, he was going to empower them with the Holy Spirit. So they were going to receive the Holy Spirit. That's different than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is when God comes upon you and does something in a moment that only God could accomplish. That's not the same as receiving the Holy Spirit, whereas Holy Spirit lives in you and stays there your whole life and never departs from you. Okay, so he is now letting them receive the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, it's if you just read, it's there. And it defeats all the religious garbage that's going on right now. You got to get the Word of God out by yourself and allow God to show you, or you're going to die and go to hell. You cannot blame anybody for your eternal destiny when God has written it out so plainly in his word, but when we refuse in our pride to listen to other men or to refuse to ask God to show us and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to suffer in this flesh to come to the point that he gives us that Holy Spirit, just like he told Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You don't know where it goes. You don't know where it came from. You hear it, but you know it's there. And we don't use those passages of scriptures. We don't bring them all together to understand the biblical truths that God is teaching us. Let's look at Romans 8. 8 and 9 real quick. It's very important that we look at these two passages of scriptures. It says, "And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." I don't know how much more plain that can be. We can't please God in the flesh. But then he goes on to say, "However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed in the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him." I didn't say this. It's really that simple. But see, religion has confounded it. And religion gives man their own destiny in their hands. If I can convince someone to say a prayer, if I can convince someone to say they're a sinner without living that discipleship life, without being taught by God, then we can convince people that they're going to heaven. And they're not. They're not going to heaven. They're going to go to hell. If they have not been born again and the Spirit of God does not bear with, and this is the only answer to that question, how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Because his Spirit bears with us your spirit, that you're a child of God and the fruits of the Spirit are growing, which makes you useful to God. And that is the only answer that you can have. There are no other answers to the question, how do I know I've got the Holy Spirit? You'll pick up this book, it becomes alive. It speaks of biblical truths. No man needs to teach you, is what this says. And yet, we throw that all away, don't we? We throw it all away. That's why we have no fear of God. That's why we have no respect of God in our world today, because religion has come up and has made it so easy, where it says it's impossible. It's impossible with man. And I'll finish up Romans 5, 5 through 9. And hope does not disappoint. So what is hope? Hope is faith. Did you know that? Huh? Faith is a conviction of things and hope for things. I mean, folks, it doesn't disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out. The love of God is giving us this chance to be redeemed, not this wonderful life on earth. Poured out within our hearts through what? Poured out in our hearts through what? What does it say? It says the Holy Spirit. So it's through the Holy Spirit who was what? Given to us. And if it has not been given to you, and they're using anything other than the fact that God tells you you're saved, you're not saved. For while we were still helpless, in the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps a good man, someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? What are you being? You're not being saved to something. You're being saved from something. You're not being saved to go to heaven. You're being saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow. Wow. You better question everything you've ever been taught by a human being, by any pastor you've ever loved and adored and worshiped. You better take his words to scripture. That's the only way you're going to find out that you've found a false God and a false gospel. There's no other way.